I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I'm the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and I have two other reporters with me for this episode number 192 of the Starling Tribune, starting with Chris.
You understand that I'm going to be punching people in about 60 seconds, right?
It always happens that way. Just when you're trying to have a romantic conversation, all of a sudden you have to go punch people. I know that's not really what happened, but I thought it was nice to say. And our favorite reporter, Michelle.
Don't be all Oliver Queen on me now.
That's a verb now, Oliver Queened?
I suppose.
Okay. By the way, this podcast is recorded on Sunday, April 8th, 2018, live via www.geeks.live.
That's right, SP, and this evening we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as news, interviews, and articles that have dropped in the last week that could and very well will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the greater DC TV universe, including The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, and God knows what else.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Woohoo! That's it for the start of the show. Let's get into the meat of the content. Michelle, why don't you go ahead and break down the current Arrow episode for us?
Yes, this episode is called Brothers in Arms. It's season 6, episode 17. It aired Thursday, April 5th, 2018. It's directed by Mark Bunting. He's been a first assistant director on 55 episodes of Arrow. So this is another example of somebody in-house being promoted to director. Has directed 2 episodes of Arrow, written by Sarah Tuckoff, who has written 9 episodes of Arrow, and Gene Wong, who's been a script coordinator on 36 episodes of Arrow, and this is her first Arrow script.
So relatively new team, except for Sarah Tuckoff being a writer 9 times now. So for the past week, we had a few CW superhero shows on, not a full slate, but a few. We had Legends of Tomorrow on Monday, the 2nd of April, with the episode titled Guest Starring John Noble, with actually John Noble. And it had a live rating of 1.23 million. Not great, but it's above 1, so yay. And on Tuesday, there was no Flash, but there was a Black Lightning episode. And it was titled Black Jesus, or Jesus, The Book of Crucifixion. And it aired to a live rating of 1.50. So that's more than Legends. So, okay. And then on Thursday, the 5th of April, Arrow aired this episode, Brothers in Arms, to a live rating of 0.87. We have now gone below 1. That is a new series low. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is a good way of putting it. We've said it before. They must get stellar numbers through the CW app and after the season through Netflix or something, because even on the CW, a sub 1 rating, it's generally not something that lasts for long.
That's kind of funny that you say that, because we have news later on that kind of proves differently.
Well, that news came before this ratings happened.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week.
With the ratings?
With the ratings, yes. Considering the news that came out this week.
That's true. And I will go back and say that last week I did say that that was my headcanon series finale. I will stick with that until proven otherwise. So this rating doesn't really bother me personally all that much. but it should bother the show because that's a bad rating. And hopefully it was vacation, like spring break related, but who knows? We'll find out. In the meantime, let's get into the actual episode. Michelle, what was with the overall theme?
Well, it's called Brothers in Arms. And first, it's actually a song by Dire Straits from the album of the same name. Some of the lyrics apply. I put a link in the show notes if you wanted to go read the lyrics. Soldiers fighting in a war are called Brothers in Arms. And I guess you can say the team is fighting crime. They're warriors of a sense. And Oliver and Diggle are supposed to be brothers, and brothers fight. So I think that's probably what's going on.
Oh, see, I was thinking that this was their attempt at saying they definitely wanted sleeves with their costumes.
They did bring them back, actually. So this is just a reminder.
Yeah. So that's what I thought, Brothers in Arms. Like, we want our arms shielded when we're out in the field.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure, SP.
Good analysis, though, Michelle.
Well, we start with the fight. There was a little action in the beginning. Anatoly gets arrested. It was nice to see that they did this in order to show that the DA and the captain of the police are actually in the pocket of Diaz. The big fight of this episode is really between Oliver and Diggle. And it kind of starts, you know, at first it seems like the boys are okay. They apologize. And Diggle, after talking to Lila, is like, okay, the hood is just a piece of cloth. I am Spartan. I do save people. But then they go to this cat's place, and I love how Spartan charges in through the door. And of course, Green Arrow has to come in through the windows because we don't have enough broken windows in Star City.
Hey, if you're a glassmaker, you're doing great business in Star City right now. You need to make a deal with the Green Arrow.
Exactly. And then Diggle gets all bad cop, I guess, you know, really wanting to question the guy. And then Oliver, well, Green Arrow is like, stand down. And SP, do you think Diggle's approach was better than Green Arrow's in that situation?
First of all, you don't argue in front of the people that you're trying to interrogate, because that shows weakness, and you're going to confuse the person that you're trying to get information from. So just by the fact that Oliver said stand down was a bad tactic. He could have tried to redirect the tactic and not told Diggle that he was not doing things right. I think that might have been a better way to go about it. Now, was he using the better tactic? Well, I gotta say, it was getting results until the girlfriend shot him, because that's what happened.
Chris?
It's strange, because Diggle's not normally the bad cop in these situations. Oliver's generally the bad cop. So it was an interesting role reversal, because go back to the early seasons, generally Oliver that's screaming and yelling at thugs, you failed the city, threatening them, beating the crap out of them. So to have the calm and collected Green Arrow at this point in time, and Spartan kind of in his face screaming and yelling, it was kind of a different transition into things. And I don't know that it was working, but we really don't know which was more effective. I mean, hindsight's 20/20 on these things. They started down that path, probably had to continue it. Oliver backing him off probably didn't make much sense, because A, like SP said, you confuse the guy, and B, it shows kind of that the two teammates aren't on the same page. You don't want to not have a united front in front of the baddies.
Yeah, and that's a good point of Oliver normally doing the rough tactics with arrows to the knee or whatever. It boils over into the Arrow Cave, where we have the fight between the guys. My mom saw the promo for this because she watches the other superhero shows, and she rolled her eyes and just said, why don't they just whip it out and measure?
They might have gotten better ratings so that they did that.
Might have been rated TVMA then too.
Yeah, because this is what's interesting, is that after 6 years, we get this fight, and it starts a verbal thing. Diggle is accusing Oliver of wanting to be the Green Arrow for selfish reasons now. It's not just to save the city. He wants to bring Green Arrow for his own needs, for his own ego or whatever. And then he's like, he calls him a bad leader. It's like, okay. And then there gets down to the lowest blows, which I don't really know. This is my problem. Diggle actually says you leave a trail of dead bodies. Okay, that is true. That is Oliver. Then says all your bad calls led to the mother of your son being killed.
Yeah, that wasn't him.
And then Oliver comes back with, hey, at least my trail of dead bodies doesn't include my own brother.
And it was great delivery by Stephen Amell. That was icy cold when he said that.
Yeah, walked up to him really calm, really softly right into his face, you know, a couple of feet apart. At least it doesn't include my own brother.
It was meant to hurt.
Yeah, but it's no different than anything that Oliver has done over the years. It really isn't. And I didn't understand why they had to do this in this episode. Really scratch my head over why this happened. Like the motivation behind it. Like, okay, so we've had the boiling up over the past few episodes of, dude, I don't understand why you're not letting me be the Hood, the Green Arrow. In the end, that doesn't really matter because you can be whatever superhero you want to be. I mean, if you can be the Green Arrow, then put on a blue costume and become the Blue Arrow. It doesn't matter. Go out and do something.
It was an abrupt transition from, I've got to be the Green Arrow. I've got to be the Green Arrow. I'm really hurt over the fact that I could be the Green Arrow, to it's just a piece of cloth, but you screwed up the mission and here's why. And it really frustrates me. He's like, because your focus is split, you can't do this anymore. He's been saying to him since the early beginning, you can't be the Hood all the time. You've got to have a life as Oliver Queen. And now that it's happening, he gets thrown back in his face at this point in time. It frustrates me a little bit because this is all built up on the premise that Oliver's been wrong all season, except he hasn't. He's been right more often than not. He's been right more often than the rest of his teammates and all these things. And in general, he's been the only sane one throughout this season.
Well, not entirely. I mean, there was a whole let's spy on the other teammates thing too, which this show, you said it a few weeks ago, Chris, this show has left me with nobody I want to root for. I mean, Dinah is no longer somebody that I really want to root for because of everything that happened with her and going, wanting to go against Oliver, even though she was clearly in the wrong. She wasn't even thinking in terms of the benevolency of the entire city. And we could go down a list of each character by character. There's nobody left that I want to care. Thea's gone. And that might have been the only one. And she's not coming back. So what is the reason why I'm watching the show? If I want to watch the show because I like characters, give me a reason for me to continue watching the show.
They think it's because we all love Felicity.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. She's the only one that comes out smelling like roses in all of this.
That's true. It's just, after this episode, I sort of understand people who have been in long-term relationships where one day, one of them wakes up and they look at the other and they're like, you know what? You are not the person I married. What happened to that person? And this relationship, it's been the core since season one. I don't understand why they're arguing like this. This isn't the relationship I recognize. One of the things I've loved about Diggle is that he's been able to steer Oliver in the right direction all this time. And then he leaves. I mean, it's interesting that he's going to Argus with Lila, and it's great to see Lila again. But he just leaves after the end. We'll talk about the cool like fight with the warehouse in a bit. But at the end of the episode, he just ends up leaving.
It's not the first time. Diggle's left before, but it feels different this time.
Yeah.
You're right. This is a long-term relationship that they've had over 6 years, and it's emboldened by all the hardships that they've already been through. They've been at each other's side for a while. Diggle even married him. So I have a lot of issues with this, that it was built up incorrectly. And even Diggle in the episode said, well, I was having trouble really understanding the issues that I had. And now here they are. And we had never really seen them, but we had talked about them on the show over the past few years, but we've never had Diggle and Oliver Queen talk back and forth about it. I mean, the two actors might have talked about it in a panel or something like that, but not on screen. It was just, it was awkward. It came out of nowhere. And I understand story-wise. Now, big time, big strategic season story-wise, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to isolate Oliver Queen here. And this is the way they chose to isolate him from Diggle. You really have to head scratch over this. This is not their relationship. Their relationship is thicker than this.
Yeah, Diggle felt a bit out of character to me. I mean, because like I said, he's been saying since the early on days of, you've got to have a life besides the hood. You need to be more than just the Green Arrow. You need to, whether it was turn into your relationship with Felicity or with Sarah or with Laurel, go back through all of these things. He's always been telling him, you can't just be the hood. You can be more than that. And for it to come down in this episode to be like, you're living two lives and you're spread too thin, I want to be like, well, this is what you've been telling him to do, and it's what you should be doing too. We tend to forget that there's John Diggle Jr. involved in all this. You don't hear much about Diggle going off with his family. It's always he's in the cave and he's working with Oliver, and I felt like bits of his character were kind of forgotten to make this split between the two characters happen, and I don't know, it just, it was played well by the actors. It just doesn't make as much sense to me based off how these two have been for 6 years, the relationship they've had developed, where they can have a conversation, they can exchange harsh words with each other, but it never really escalates to, I'm going to beat your ass because I'm mad at you because tensions have boiled over. It's always been, we can have rational, mature conversations, and especially in this episode, when you get a heartfelt, well-thought, well-spoken apology from Oliver as to, here's why I can't give you the hood, it's because it's a part of me. That was growth from Oliver. You never would have seen that. And to kind of get that thrown back in his face of being like, it's selfish of you to want to wear that hood, to call it a part of you because you're not focusing on the city. I don't get it. Why can you not have both? Why can you not have that be a part of you and also still want to save the city? They're not mutually exclusive.
It was a little awkward when John Diggle kept on saying, you've grown as a person, but you're a terrible leader. I mean, it took a long time to get to the terrible leader. It was all, you've grown as a person, but you've grown as a person, but you've grown as a person, but, and then finally you're a terrible leader.
Well, they're all terrible leaders in this show. Let's look at their history.
But you did say something important, and I had really low expectations going into this show, this episode, as I was discussing last week. Last week's episode was the headcanon series finale for me when Thea left. But I have to say, going in with low expectations and then watching the actors deal with the material that they were given for the specific episode, Stephen Amell and David Ramsey did outstanding with the material that they were given. And my hat is off to them as actors. I think it's a story issue and a plot issue that was the real heart of why we're having some issues with the episode.
Before the split, there's this great attack on the warehouse because the team is, of course, trying to get after Diaz. Diaz is making a lot of money off of Vertigo. And then on the other side, we have Dinah and Curtis, the clean cops that she got to arrest. And then Tully, well, they became target. One of them died and they ended up in a safe house. And so at the end of the episode, we have this really great split between the action. And I want to start with the safe house. One of the tropes I'm really tired of is hiding behind a table during a gunfight.
It was a metal table. It wasn't wooden. It was metal. So it was like one of those 50s workbenches sort of tables. So I could see that being an effective shield against a normal bullet. But if it's meant to be armor piercing whatsoever, the table's not going to help you.
Curtis did have his gear on underneath, and that's how his boyfriend finds out that he's Mr. Terrific.
In more ways than one.
Hey-o.
Woo! And then we see Dinah actually having to make an exit on the east side. I like how she sort of ran and like looked over her shoulder and was like,
is anybody watching me? Yeah, I saw that too. That was funny.
Yeah, then she did her thing and was like, oh, hey, look, there's this sudden opening.
At least someone's protecting their secret identity in this show anymore.
I have to admit, the attack on the warehouse was really cool. So, Chris, what did you think of Diggle and Green Arrow going after the warehouse?
I like Oliver's one arrow that has like a bajillion little explosives that go flying off of it. That was pretty cool.
And the standard big explosion that was put into the liquid vertigo to make it go boom. The fights were good. I mean, they weren't like the best ever. I did like the choreography of the two fights going on simultaneously. That harkened back to some better days of the fight choreography on the show. That was pretty good. And just to go back to the fight in the arrow cave just a little bit, because we didn't really talk about the fight itself. They were taking some serious slugs at each other and they withstood them.
It was brutal.
Yeah, just so shows what kind of sluggers those two are. So you take that mentality, that fight mentality, and you throw it against some bad guys. That's pretty good. Now, I did have an issue where Oliver needed to be saved, and I guess it was just a numbers thing, which we've never really addressed this before in the series before this year, that, oh, too many, there's just too many of them. We couldn't go against. Oliver used to be able to take on 150 bad guys and still win. So I do have a little bit of an issue that he's League of Assassins trained. He goes into the warehouse and he still needs Diggle to watch his back at one point. So is that really the Green Arrow that we've known that has been trained over the past 10, 15 years? I don't know.
He's soft now, SP. He's soft because he's got a family in these things.
Well, I know he's soft because we haven't had an ab scene in quite some time.
Or a salmon ladder.
Oh, God, I miss that ladder. Really miss it a lot.
I miss the ladies trying it, too.
Fair. I'll give you that, but...
Well, maybe when Sarah comes back for the season finale, she'll bring a salmon ladder with her or something. I don't know. We can dream.
You just reminded me she's coming back. Oh.
So, spoiler alert, we know she's going to live through the Legends of Tomorrow season finale tomorrow night.
Well, no, we don't necessarily time travel. She could come back in between the penultimate and the season finale episode. You don't know.
I suppose you're correct. Good call.
Good one. Well, let's talk about... Diggle says, like, oh my goodness, you're split. You're mayor and you're Green Arrow. Oliver has to do some mayoring this week. And he finds out that DA and the captain of police are in the pocket of Diaz, and he calls them into his office. And he's like, I know you are in leagues with the bad guy. Now, I haven't been in a managerial position before, but I do know comic books. And it's like, you know, they're working for the bad guy. Do you really think it's smart to upset them right away instead of trying to use them somehow?
That's what I think he was trying to do, but he did approach it very confrontationally. He wasn't like, okay, I know you've done something bad. Let's turn this into something good. He was just accusing them and saying, if you're working with him, you can't work for me. So you're absolutely right. He could have turned them to do something beneficial for him, gave bad information back, or started to find out exactly who was on the payroll in the entire city, not just in the DA's office and the cop office or something like that. So yeah, those are two assets which could have been used a little bit more appropriately.
That was disappointing. And that's going to bite him next week, which we'll talk about. So Chris, how happy were you to see Lila? Because I was very happy to see Lila.
I was happy to see her, and I like the fact that I played with the fact that she hadn't been on there forever. And she's like, well, I found something you left for me in December on my desk that when I was mysteriously hacked around the same time, and kind of didn't gloss over the fact that Diggle abused his relationship with the boss lady to get in there. But it was good to see her back. It was good to see her be a sounding board to have logic and reason applied to some of this stuff. But man, it's another reminder of Diggle's got a family, and we haven't seen that family in a while. Maybe we should see them more.
They still live together, right?
Yeah, they're married.
She travels a lot, I guess.
So my point is, it's April and he stole the thing in December. And if they live in the same house at some point in time, they could have had a conversation.
Well, the implication was she hadn't been to her desk since December. Evidently, she was traveling or something like that was the implication I got.
Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And she's like, well, if you're breaking into my office anyway, you might as well work for me.
It's always better to have the thief on the payroll than just stealing stuff willy-nilly. So Lila was good to have back. We haven't seen her in quite some time. And my mind went to exactly what is going to be their working relationship in Argus. Even if Diggle didn't leave the team during the episode. This is what I was thinking, and went to go with Argus. So I don't know if they're going to be like co-directors or he's going to be the chief of her security, which is kind of a little bit weird seeing those they're husband and wife. So I'm not sure how this is all going to pan out, but I'm sure it'll make sense, at least to the writers, the showrunners.
It'll make sense to someone. We'll just see what kind of sense it makes.
So, Chris, you are our expert on Laurel Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's your favorite.
My favorite. I love Laurel, guys. She's the best. I was sad when they killed her. I shed lots of tears.
Well, now you have her back in a way. What do you think of what she's been up to?
That's what I think about that. So, in all seriousness, they're using the character at least, and now they're trying to blur the lines between Laurel from this earth and the evil Laurel we have here. Her somewhat father gives her old Laurel's law books and says, here, maybe you should look at these, and I'm kind of scratching my head going, she's a criminal. She's never really researched the law or anything like this. What are you doing?
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of criminals out there that know a lot about the law. But she's never studied it before.
Yes, that really phrased. She hasn't studied the law before. She's not been a practitioner of the law. She's been a breaker of the law. And now she's magically, through a little bit of research in an afternoon, found a way to have the district attorney, who is a practicing lawyer, and the police captain who get fired, file charges against Oliver Queen and basically say, you're trying to impede our investigation into you. Very convenient.
Well, it might be convenient, but I don't think that the DA and the chief of police were going to do anything. They thought to themselves, this is our way out. You know, we've told the line, we have served Diaz, and then we got found out, we got fired. So now Diaz can't harm us anymore. So Laurel comes up with this, Black Canary, comes up with this neat scheme. And Diaz says, okay, you guys do this, or all that bad things that I was going to do to your family members, I'm still going to do. So hold them back in. So I can kind of see what happened there.
Well, see, I looked at it more of a way of he'd be like, you need to find a way to fix this, or all these bad things I've promised to you are going to happen to you.
It could have happened too, and they were trying to think of a way to do it with minimal damage, and Laurel comes in and says, why don't you just do this? And they were like, okay, well, sounds like the boss is telling us to do this, so we got to do it.
I think it's interesting that she doesn't want Lance hurt.
Yeah, that means he's dead. We've been saying this for years.
6 years,
I'm going to try and call the shot again and say Quentin's not going to make it out of this season.
Why not? Yeah, I don't see him making it out, actually, personally.
It's a tradition. We have to uphold it.
Right. I think Black Canary is going to put him in some sort of a danger position where he has to feel like he has to protect her, and he just gets cut down in the process. I can see this happening.
Yeah, it seems that she is in literal bed with Diaz.
Well, wouldn't you be? It's Kirk. I mean, why not? Heck, I'd cross the street for Kirk.
Yes, he is very handsome, and he's being very smooth. I just wish we had more of him. I'm still trying to figure out how he got everything in place.
Yeah, the lead up was thin for the new listener that might have not have checked us out before. We've commented on the lead up was thin to him taking power. And now that he is in power, okay, he's playing a formidable character, but how? Why? Well, how did he get to this point? I don't know.
Yeah.
All will be revealed, maybe. Maybe we'll get a flashback of some kind at some point in time. All I really want at this point is a fight between the Green Arrow and Diaz. I want to see that.
Do you think that's going to happen? Or do you think it's going to be a fight between maybe Diggle and Diaz?
I guess it depends on what Diggle's new role is in Argus, which kind of confuses me again. You're all about saving the city when Argus hasn't been very involved in the city lately, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, but somebody has left the team again. So Oliver's the only one left.
Yeah, everybody leaves the team, though.
No. Oliver's not the only one left. Thea's, or Felicity.
Until we see the preview for next week.
Right. True, but Felicity's still there for another week.
I'll never leave you.
Right.
Yeah, so Chris, you brought this up pre-show about who all has left the team. Do you want to take us through that?
Yes, so we'll thank the fine folks in the Arrow subreddit. There was a user there who broke down who all's left the team over the 6 seasons. They have 12 entries, so let's go with the first. Diggle leaves briefly at the end of season 1 because Oliver didn't want to help him with his mission against Deadshot, so Diggle left first originally in season 1. Then Roy left towards the end of season 2 because of his frustrations with Oliver coming between him and Thea and the Mirakuru, so then there's Roy leaving in season 2.
I think it was mostly Mirakuru.
I think mostly too. Sarah leaves toward the end of season 2 because she felt she was a corrupting influence on Oliver.
She left and she got hotter, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Roy leaves permanently towards the end of season 3 because he faked his death and had to go on the run. We're at point 4. We've got 8 more to go. And 5, Oliver and Felicity leave at the end of season 3 so they can have their happy ending.
Which they drove off into the sunset, which was meant to be the season finale. And if
it's true.
You wanted to have that be your series finale, then you could. But we had 3 more seasons.
Moving on to season 4, Felicity briefly left the team after she broke up with Oliver.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to go on a superhero vigilante team with your ex.
Next, Diggle and Thea both leave at the end of season 4.
Wise choices for both of them.
Yes. Evelyn left early on in season 5 by betraying the team. Yeah, we forgot about Evelyn. She was a character that existed, guys. We haven't talked about her in ages.
Who was she?
She was the other Black Canary temporarily.
Oh.
With New Team Arrow.
Well, yeah, she had the collar. That's how she got their attention. She was Artemis.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah.
She was Artemis.
That's right. My bad.
Which we have not seen her body, so she could conceivably come back.
She could come back. Next, Aurori, aka Ragman, left in season 5 because he lost his abilities.
And they said he would be back.
They did. Then Oliver left in season 6 because he quit as the Green Arrow. We remember that one. Then, of course, New Team Arrow, Dinah, Renee, and Curtis leave in season 6 because they got spied on. And finally, Diggle leaves in season 6 because he's disillusioned with Oliver's leadership. So actually, going through here, Diggle's kind of topping the list of people who've left Team Arrow. We just don't really realize it.
And you could go early into season 1 and say that he's left the team quite a bit because Oliver lost his tail.
That's true. If we want to go back that far, you could make that theory.
Yeah, good list, though. Good list.
So kudos to the folks over at Reddit for bringing that one up. I'll put a link to it in the show notes if anyone wants it.
But it's interesting how this one feels different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this feels like a breakup that you can't come back from.
Yeah, because those were some low bros.
Yeah. A lot of the other ones were, okay, this is understandable, but there's a redemption way back onto the team. Like even this week with Curtis and Dinah, you could see them working with Team Arrow, at least in the immediate future, specifically because they're now a bunch of vigilantes with the cops now, and the good cops that got fired, which we didn't discuss, but Dinah's got herself a team, basically. So... yeah, Diggle is the only one out of the bunch, and I'm like, not good. Well, I guess Artemis, just because she betrayed the team, but that was like a straight betrayal. This is like, you're my brother, you're my blood brother, and we're never going to work together again. That's tough.
Well, I'm sure they'll wind up together again in some capacity. It just feels different.
This list makes me realize how tired I am of the merry-go-round of at the beginning of the season, everything seems to be okay. It's very interesting to be a resident of Star City where it's like, oh my goodness, it's Christmas. Things are going to get awful right now. And then they're magically going to get better in the spring. But we get this whole...
If I was a resident of Star City, I would take every single Thursday off.
I would also be... in Florida during the winter, too.
But we're getting the same merry-go-round of something happens, Oliver gets questioned, are we killing, are we not killing? People have trouble with his leadership skills, and then he's supposed to learn something. And I really felt at the end of last season that after 5 seasons of this, it had been subtle.
Yeah, we thought wrong.
Yeah, I'm a bit thin on the show right now. Seems as though last week, once again, was my headcanon series finale. So this is like bonus episodes for me, so hey, it's not too bad. Series is over.
Yeah. Chris, any last thoughts about the episode?
It was okay. I'm curious to see where they go from here. How are we going to ramp things up for a season finale? Oliver's on an island again by himself.
A metaphorical Lian Yu.
Exactly.
SP?
I went into this episode with really low expectations, as I said before, so it wasn't that bad when you go in with low expectations. But that said, I don't want to have to go into it with low expectations. I want a really good show. And I think they're building up to what they think is the showrunners and the writers. I think they're building up to something at the end of the season, which they think is going to be a really good season finale. And I hope they're right. But I'm not seeing it, and we haven't seen it for a while. We started complaining about this like first or second episode in 2018, you know, after the winter hiatus. So I don't know. Looking forward to it getting better, because I don't think it can get much worse with a 0.87. I really don't. Thursday night, that's tough.
We will see if things improve next week. Next week's episode is called Fundamentals. It's season 6, episode 18. It will air Thursday, April 12th, 2018. In his darkest place yet, Oliver wonders if he has failed at everything. Oliver lashes out at Felicity and William. A surprising visit from an old friend has Oliver questioning his next move. Directed by Ben Hernandez-Bray. Written by Speedweed and Amelia Ortega Aldrin.
Hopefully with a more seasoned creative team that they will put some weight behind the story here and actually do something good. So we'll see what happens there. In the meantime, we're going to move on to the news. Live from the Starling Tribune news desk on floor 52 of Starling Tribune Tower in the middle of Star City. It's the weekly news roundup with chief news anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Thanks, SP. So our first bit of news is good news. Even though we had that 0.87 live rating, Arrow's been renewed along with a whole bunch of other things. CW has renewed the bulk of its lineup. It has picked up Dynasty, Black Lightning, all of the big DC shows, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. And Supernatural has been picked up for its 14th season. Riverdale has been picked up, and Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So good news for all of those shows. But we don't know the series order. We do not know how many episodes have been ordered. So even though Arrow has been renewed, if the numbers, I think, do not improve, we might get a 13 episode.
Might actually be better for the series if that happens, because then they don't have to have fluff episodes like they just threw in this week. And I will call this week a fluff episode, even though it was heady material. I don't see them needing an episode like this in a 13 episode season.
Hey, Legends can get away with a shorter season, and it works for them in many cases. So there's no reason why they couldn't do that here. Do a shorter episode order.
Especially since they haven't announced what they're picking up. Because they seem to be really invested in the Charm and Roswell reboot. And we don't know about iZombie or The 100, because those are on now and The 100 hasn't premiered yet. So those are going to be announced later. I know they get 2 more hours next year, but they still have a lot of shows that they can fill those slots with.
Oh, yeah. And I'm really hoping they don't play spin around the schedule, for lack of a better term, what they did this back half, where you had Legends Tomorrow take over Supergirl's time slot, air their run while Supergirl went on hiatus for like 3 months. I don't like them doing that. Legends is my favorite, so at least it's getting burned out now, but if Supergirl is my favorite show, I'd be a little hot under the collar over the fact of, okay, we stop on a cliffhanger and now I don't have any more for like 9-10 weeks as you burn off the rest of Legends. That's not a great way to keep your fans engaged. So you don't keep that buzz building.
A little bit of that was the Olympics. Not all of it by any means, but a little bit of that was the 3 weeks or so during the Olympics that I wouldn't want to have my favorite show airing at that point in time anyway. Even though it was a lower rated Olympics this year, who knows? If the men's hockey team was doing better, then that would have garnered a lot more ratings during those nights. I have an issue, like you said, with Supergirl, because that's going to be airing into June. And I do have an issue with shows that are supposed to be main season shows, which I would call September, October through May, running late into June. I think we will see ratings drops with Supergirl once you get beyond Labor Day weekend.
I think you're right, but I think that gets us back to their point of, I don't think the CW cares as much as we think they should or do about ratings, because for them, it's a matter of the number of viewers they get between TV, app, Netflix, all of those other things. I know we beat this drum a lot, but it's the only thing I can think why they would not worry so much about seemingly plummeting ratings on some things.
That's fair. And I meant Memorial Day weekend, not Labor Day weekend. But yeah, that's completely fair. Unfortunately, we don't get to see the shares of online or the downloads or the plays or anything. I don't even know what they count them. And
yeah, I don't either.
If they did, then it would be a more equitable thing. But it could be like podcasting, where you don't have a consistent number. How do you count the online streaming things? So they might not release those numbers just because it wouldn't be fair. Like, somebody would say that they had 10 million views, when reality, that's just because you open the browser and it automatically played, and then you close the browser down within 5 seconds or something like that. Whereas you don't count that, and you don't count it as a play until you're like 15 minutes in or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and we also don't know how the Netflix figures into all of this as well.
Because I know I work with some folks, the way they look at a lot of these superhero shows are, I wait until it's on Netflix, and I watch it over a couple weeks, and they don't watch during the regular season. So I was telling one of my coworkers, well, when you get to Crisis on Earth X, you're going to have to split between the seasons. You're going to have to say, okay, I need to stop here and watch this episode of Supergirl, this episode of Arrow. You can't just watch one piece at a time, because they all cross over like they should. So it's not unheard of. In today's world, there's a lot of folks who are just like, yeah, I don't care about the live TV airings. I'll wait until I can stream it all in one fell swoop.
That's true. And I wonder if on Netflix, they're going to, and we've talked about this before, if they're going to have a specific carve out for the crossover like they do on the CW app, or like they did on the CW app when all those episodes were still live. They're still in the season, but maybe there's another thing that you can go to watch all four of them. So if you're not a fan of any of the other shows, or you're not watching the other shows, you can at least catch the crossover in its entirety. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, so moving on, Chris, you have some news about the cliffhanger.
Yes, so Entertainment Weekly has some news on the cliffhanger we'll have for season 6. According to them, as Oliver continues to alienate everyone who loves him, expect to see more of the same in the season ender, though it may not end the way you'd expect. It's a very unusual kind of finale, EP Mark Guggenheim says. It definitely has a cliffhanger, but not a traditional cliffhanger. Last year's finale was a traditional cliffhanger. It was very much an, oh my god, what's going to happen? This is a different kind of cliffhanger. I would say it's somewhere on the spectrum of the cliffhanger of season 1, which is like, how is Oliver going to go forward, in the cliffhanger of season 5, and more on how Oliver is going to go forward. This, I think, falls somewhere in the middle. We have a few surprises up our sleeves. There's a couple of twists. There's a couple of things that we're doing that are not only very unexpected, but also unprecedented, not just for Arrow, but for the other DC superhero shows as well. So guys, what are they going to do that makes it a unique twist, a unique cliffhanger that we haven't seen before? I have a theory, but I'd like to hear your theories first.
I think they lose. I think we get Mayor Diaz and everybody is like, Queen was corrupt, so hashtag because his hood. And now we get Diaz because everyone thinks he's restored order. And then we come back in season 7 and we have Mayor Diaz. And then everybody's like, you know, maybe this Diaz guy is worse than Queen. That sort of deal. Maybe that could be completely different. They lose, because Felicity actually says in this episode, in the end, we always win. Maybe this time they don't win.
I like it. SP, you got any theories?
Well, not as good as that, because that definitely makes sense, and it would continue on into the next year pretty appropriately. I've always questioned why the federal entities haven't been coming in, jumping in, because they should at this point with everything going on, or at least the state entities, right? What could happen? Well, let me back up just a second and say the cliffhanger in season 5, even though we were mildly speculating, none of us really cared what happened at that point, right? It was like, is the biggest question that we have is Felicity going to die? And we all wanted Felicity to die, and Felicity came back. Chris, you called it. Felicity came back, even though you didn't want her to come back. So, okay. Yes, it was a traditional cliffhanger, but we didn't, at least here on the Starling Tribune, we didn't care. What would be different could be something that's actually the same. It goes back to the blown out Leon Yu.
That'd be interesting. I like that theory. So my theory, and this is one that Neil's going to like because he's floated it before, Mayor Green Arrow. He's publicly outed and there's no undoing it at this point in time. Everyone knows that Oliver Queen is the Green Arrow. And we start to touch on some of the comic stories that we'd had before when he was publicly Green Arrow and Mayor at the same time. And if you think about it, for the world we have here, there's no publicly outed superheroes in this world. Now, secret identities aren't kept very well, but it's not public knowledge that Barry Allen's the Flash. This is everybody knows, and there's no putting the genie back in the bottle, and this is how we have to deal with it going forward.
This is the I am Iron Man moment, huh?
Yes, exactly. Because Stephen Amell has talked about before, he wants to have his own I am Iron Man moment. So maybe they give it to him.
Okay. That would turn it on its head, because you're right. None of the other shows are that way. So, yeah, interesting.
But then he would go to jail.
Not necessarily. If he's acquitted.
But if he admits that he's Green Arrow, and he's under indictment for all of the crime being Green Arrow, he would have to prove that even though he was Green Arrow, he didn't actually kill anybody.
So our favorite FBI storyline from this year continues into next year, just like the vigilante storyline did last year.
You mean the storyline's basically been dropped on the floor for the last five episodes?
Yep.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure which one you were talking about because...
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
It's been a while since we lost the vigilante, but yeah, the FBI, you're talking about the FBI. Although that came up at the end of the episode where he's under indictment. Yeah, okay.
Well, those are all interesting ideas. Be interesting to see how this plays out and see how different it is. Of course, the writers have said that they were doing all these different things and all these wild things. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, I do hope they actually surprise us. So moving on into general DC news, we have good news for Legends of Tomorrow fans. The series has promoted Jess McCallan to a series regular for season 4. She plays Ava Sharp. And if you've been watching Legends of Tomorrow, you know that Ava and Sarah have a relationship. And I think it's going to be interesting that now that Legends has been renewed, we're supposed to get Matt Ryan as Constantine next year. And considering that Sarah and Constantine had a moment and Sarah and Ava are in a relationship, well, I hope that continues because I really do. I like those two together. It should be a fun season 4. This show is just fun. It's just a wonderful, fun show. And
so this way they can keep everybody on the Wave Rider. They don't have to displace anybody. They don't have to move anybody out. And they could just move both those characters directly into Sarah's cabin.
The showrunners did say there is one legend leaving the show at the end of the season.
Amaya.
Everyone wants to think Amaya. I'm saying Rip.
But he's already left.
Yeah, he's still on the show, though. Amaya is what they want us to think. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
I don't really... do we consider Rip to be a legend? I don't. I don't consider him to be a legend. I mean, he might be on the show, but I don't consider him to be part of the Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay. I still say he's going to leave. That's my theory.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong because I like the character, but...
Well, he has been kind of slighted the past 2 years of, like, goodbye, we'll see you, like, 15 episodes later.
Yes.
I think Arthur Darvill likes that because I know he does other things. I think he kind of likes being the guest star. It needs to be Amaya. I love the character and I love the actor who's playing her, but she is time displaced. And I know that they're messing with the timeline and they have to fix it. But eventually she does have to go back home because we need Kawasa and our current Vixen. Even if Nate becomes the baby daddy, even though he's not now, they eventually have to go back to 1942.
Yep. We'll see what happens on it.
No, I think she's right. I think Amaya's gone.
That's what would make sense to do. but they like relationshipy stuff on CW shows.
Yeah, well, you have Sarah and Ava.
That's true.
You might even have Mick and what's her name from the future?
Zari?
Zari. It might have Mick and Zari.
Two totem bearers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. So that wraps it up for the news. And we are part of the GunnaGeek.com network. And Chris, we have a lot of different podcasts, don't we?
That's right, Michelle. There's 25 plus different shows on the network that cover a variety of topics. You've got us, the Starling Tribune. We're very much focused on the television show Arrow and occasionally Legends of Tomorrow when it's in the off seasons. And you've got other shows that are much broader in focus, talk about geeky news, the happenings that are going on that people might care about. So we cover a variety of topics, and there's 25 plus shows, like I was saying. We can't very well highlight every show each week, but what we can do is highlight one show each week and say, hey, you guys might want to go check out this show as well. And this week we're talking about episode 69 of the Super Geeky Playdate entitled Live at NanoCon. We hosted a panel at NanoCon called How to Make a Bad Podcast, and we get a great turnout. Plus, Maddie K returns. So live podcasting is always a fun beast. I think it's well worth going to go check that out. So go check out Super Geeky Playdate over at GunnaGeek.com. But looking at the time and looking at our show notes, I think it is time for us to start wrapping things up. So a big thanks to the live listeners who did participate in the chat over at Geeks.live, but also to everyone who downloads the podcast from StartingTribune.com or replays the video over at YouTube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember that you can always check our live recordings out at www.geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on every Sunday.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you could call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Brothers in Sleeves.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag Super Magic Bomb Arrow.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag Whip It Out and Measure. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.